Imagine you're on a John Deere mower with a smooth ride, intuitive controls, and attachments for every season. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Shock Factor podcast, where I am joined by the ever handsome, I don't think he had any doctor appointments this week, Jordan Schusterman and Jake Mintz, who I know Jake doesn't go to the doctor. He's over that. He bikes. He's healthy. We know it.
He's anti-doctor.
That's Can true, I tell actually. a quick medical story?
Yeah.
Please.
So I have a problem with flatulence.
Okay.
Which I am not ashamed to admit. Jordan can verify this. Correct, Jordan?
Yep. Confirmed.
And confirmed. My beautiful fiance has grown to basically, she was like, you gotta fix this. Like, we've reached a point. Like, you gotta fix this. Last night, she gave me a product called Gas X, no free ads. And that was supposed to stop my flatulence. Unfortunately, it turns out the Gas X that she had here in our apartment expired in 2016. And I spent all of last night incredibly nauseous and sick because I had consumed 8-year expired stomach medicine. And so I am slowly recovering this morning. That is the opposite of going to the doctor.
Yeah. Why? I was wondering why you were wearing a sweater.
Here, I have so many questions, but I want to talk about college baseball, so I'm going to save it for off the air. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Jake. I appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday. It's May 7th. We are here doing a college baseball podcast together. Steve, how are you?
Wait, speaking of things that make me nauseous, Kendall Rogers' hatred for every single D1 baseball program leaves me sick on a weekly basis.
I have the opposite reaction. It fires me up. It honestly inspires me to hate even more, dislike all of the programs and piss off every fan base.
Anytime I'm like, wow, I'm a positive guy. I want to ruin dreams. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that because Kendall is handling that. He's got this down, you know?
I don't know if you've been following the rap battle that's been going on recently between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. But there is a line in one of the disses where Kendrick Lamar says, I hate the way, let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk, the way that you dress. That's Kendall Rogers.
Okay? That's Kendall Rogers about, you know, any Everyone. Team in the Big Ten, basically.
Yeah. And we will talk about the Big Ten on today's podcast. I'm going to shoehorn that in. Yes. It is a beautiful Tuesday morning. And Steve, I will kick the rock to you with a very simple question. What do you watch over the weekend?
I watched a lot of college baseball in
Good,
person.
Steve. Good,
in person, Steve. The nice, one nice, I nice. Saw. Was Campbell at UNCW, and I was impressed a lot with UNCW. They've been turning a lot of heads, but this season they've been absolutely tearing it up. Tanner Thatch is Tanner Thatch. You know, he's going to do what he does. And let me tell you, that kid is impressive to watch. I believe he broke the single season program home run record. I believe next week we should go through all the people who have broken home run records because it has been many. I am so tired of trying to think, do I capitalize freshman? How do I say they broke the home run record by a Duke freshman on this specific day at this specific moment in time? It's like, I remember I wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Records growing up. I was like, I'm going to do it one day. Something's going to happen. And I really thought I could get the Guinness Book of World Records. Like, hey, yeah, first guy to sled down this hill on a Tuesday in February. No, they aren't giving out
Tim Kirkchen, the Tim Kirkchen style, right? Like,
yeah,
had enough qualifiers. I gotta say, Steve, I'm looking through UNCW's resume here, and that's a lot of UNCWs. 32 UNCW is only 16 UNCWLs. Yeah. They beat Wake in a midweek. They beat NC State in a midweek. They just swept Campbell with you in attendance. They took 2 of 3 from Northeastern earlier in the year. Was supposed to kind of run this conference. Like, this team, do you think they're like postseason level legit? Like, could we see them in a super?
I honestly think we could, just because like the way this team, they don't seem to get stressed. Like, the pressure doesn't really get to them, which is exactly what you want out of a team that is like literally 5 minutes from the beach. That's what you want out of these guys. They're led. I think one of the most vocal leaders has to be Jack Kroom. You know, offensively, he's also a leader, and defensively, he's great. But he's the dude I talked to in the fall, and he was like, look, I love this school because I can go boogie boarding. And I think that's who I want at the head of my college baseball program. Like, if you told me I could build around one player, it's going to be the guy who prefers boogie boarding over baseball, because that kid knows. That kid knows what's important in life, honestly.
So what's interesting is that, you know, by that rationale, like, Kansas should be stressing, considering mm-hmm. how far they are from the ocean. But it's been a solid year from the Jayhawks. I know they lost 2 of 3 to Kansas State over the weekend, but when I think of far from beach, I think of the Jayhawks.
I think for Kansas, it's the hope, because, you know, after sponsoring this podcast, the Atlantic Ocean and Atlantic Coast Conference, anyone can join at any point. So I think that's a good point. It's like, hey, look, and I'm going to play good baseball with the hopes that the ACC is like, hey, relocate to the beach.
Well, also, with global warming and rising sea levels, anybody could be near a beach really at any time. And I think
you believe in yourself.
Are you worried that UNCW is reliant on their proximity to the beach, given that Omaha is not really beach adjacent?
That's a problem. Listen, if they get that far, we'll worry about it when we get there. Yeah. As long as their regional is, you know, we can smell the ocean still, I like their chances. You know, if the super regional ends up a little bit more inland, maybe we have some trouble.
I think the way to approach it, right, is like, is the regional within flight distance of a Seahawk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how far can a Seahawk fly?
That's the thing.
Another. So what do you mean the flight distance of a Seahawk? I explain what that means.
Well, I would say, like, okay, so a Seahawk, there probably aren't Seahawks like in the center of America.
I understand.
There's only a certain distance from the shore a Seahawk is comfortable flying. And UNCW just needs to make sure that their regional is within that range, is really all I'm saying.
That's fair. I'm hoping for them. It doesn't seem like, you know, they're 41 in the RPI. I don't think they're going to be in the hosting conversation. But, you know, there are some. I'm trying to think who at the top here, who could be hosting. I guess ECU is not that close, right? They're not that close to the water. I guess they're closer than some of these other places.
Yeah, so I would say ECU is about an hour to a beach around that time.
Do you guys know? Okay, so this is interesting. Like, Seahawk isn't really an official term, I believe, for a bird. It's more of just a general classification of birds that are near water. Technically, the osprey is a Seahawk.
Now, that's interesting.
We could see those more inland, is what you're saying.
Osprey map. Yeah, I mean,
there are other bodies of water. You know, it doesn't just have to be the sea, the ocean, right? I mean, you could be plopping it on some man-made lake.
I appreciate Jake digging into this, because I tried to do two quick Google searches where I searched how far can a Seahawk fly, and it just gave me a lot of information about planes.
And about planes and the Seattle Seahawks, like, road schedule. Yeah.
And then I typed in Seahawk inland ? Found nothing. Mm. So, you know,
just got to work on your SEO, I think.
Yeah. I do know that peregrine falcons can fly about 200 miles an hour. So if they're qualified as a Seahawk, then look, good news, worldwide.
One last point here before we move on. Seahawks year round can be found basically down the Atlantic coast into the center of Georgia, all of Florida, all of Louisiana. That opens up a lot of regional opportunities. Florida State would be well within the range for them. That seems like a potential spot. Their breeding grounds are much larger, all the way up into Canada, encompassing a lot of Tennessee. And, you know, that's what we're looking for. Like, we want these Seahawks to be effing the baseball. So if they're able to play a regional in the breeding grounds, that's going to be positive for them. All right, enough about Seahawks, Jake. Shut the hell up. Jordan, what did you watch this weekend?
Well, I did see a game in person, which was West Virginia and Cincinnati. I'll get to that at the end of this little segment. I mean, how about LSU? Kind of getting off the mat here. This was talk about a must win, and this was not necessarily one that we were expecting them to handle. But that was a season saver, I would say.
Yeah.
In terms of this series win against Texas A&M, knocking the Aggies out of the top spot in the rankings as Tennessee takes over the number one spot. And I think that was, there were some really, really impressive series wins this weekend. But that was, I would say, you know, Kentucky over Arkansas, of course. But that one, considering the stakes for LSU running out of time here, at this point, I'm worried about them, you know, obviously returning to Omaha or anything. But it would really suck to see this team, like, just actually not make it at all.
I agree.
We want them to break that streak, right? I mean, how many the last couple of years of teams that were in the College World Series? Yeah, 3 years in a row of them not even making the playoffs. Like, that's not a good thing. I think we can all agree. We would prefer for the defending champion narrative to be thick. I quite like that. I do want to give a little love to Christian Little.
Yes, I agree.
So Christian Little has been a college pitcher for 35 years. He started as a freshman at Vandy when he was 17. He enrolled early.
He's still only 21. 20,
yeah. 20, he's gone 20. Through so many lives. He's now at LSU. In a year, last year when LSU just like, even though they won the World Series, they really needed arms. Everyone always needs arms. And Christian Little was nowhere to be found. And I think his stock kind of just shrunk into nothing heading into this year. And I understand that he has a 5.52 or 5.22 ERA this season, but he's been a lot better recently and had a huge relief appearance in a 6-4 win for LSU over the weekend. I think he threw three and two thirds in relief, scoreless. So if he could be anything, I mean, anything for LSU, that'd be great. Huge win for Mr. Nate Yeske, Tigers pitching coach.
Yeah. And 3 2/3 against that lineup has to be like throwing a complete game. Because they put together quality at bats, one, but also they're just like really good hitters. It's like you don't really get time to breathe in that lineup. Like most schools, there will be one or two guys. It's like, hey, that's our shortstop. He's a rollover machine. Like when he's up the back, the team's not paying attention. Like we know what's going on. It's like,
all right, somebody call. Somebody get better phone service because you got rollover minutes.
And it is that kid. And like as a pitcher, you're like, oh, thank God that kid's finally up. Texas A&M is like, okay, well, our shortstop just hit two home runs here. It's not a fun time for you. So shout out to him because that's really honestly huge. Another game that really caught my attention and – do you guys have anything more on?
No. Keep
I agree with your everything show, Jake said.
It's your show, Steve.
It's us. It's a we thing, not a team. There's no I in team. Well, there is.
Yeah, but there is a
capital A hole. Okay.
Yeah, but there is a shock in the factor. Like it.
Yeah, that is Jake a good and point.
Jordan factor.
That's a good point, but I think you guys are an important piece because otherwise I senseless ramble for an hour. Is that what anyone wants? Mm-mm.
Some people probably, but I'm happy to be here with you. So please continue with what you want to talk about.
Those people got the grippy socks on. Anyway, Georgia Tech versus Clemson. This was a fun one to watch because, you know, with this weekend, with it being wet nationwide, it was a lot of doubleheaders, a lot of schedule changes, but Georgia Tech, they had a doubleheader at Clemson where you're playing a really good Clemson team and they lose game one of the doubleheader and it's the bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth, game on the line. They're like, okay, look, if we lose here, it's 11-12 and nothing. And it's like, look, if we lose here, so what? At least we go back to the hotel. We get to go home one half inning early. They decide to hit a go-ahead home run in the ninth and continue their day of baseball, which was really interesting. They end up finishing the game, winning 14-12 in this second game of a doubleheader, which, man, I can't. So, in the world, if the pitch clock did not exist, I think one of these games could still be going on.
So I got to say, Steve, when this happened, I was like, wow, this feels really familiar. Mm-hmm. Haven't I seen this exact game before at Clemson like a month ago?
Yeah.
Clemson did this to Florida State and won 14-12, having come back from 11-2.
Wow.
In late March. And I remember it was like, oh my God, like how could Florida State possibly capitulate to this degree? They won that game 14-12. They lose this game 14-12 after being up, what were they? I guess they were up 12-7 going to the eighth. And they were up even more at some point. Yeah. So again, eerily similar, where it's like they're not. As you're watching them blow it, you're like, this isn't actually happening. But because again, it's not like anyone was expecting them to win that series, but to even get that one game is massive for them.
One thing I remember from my college baseball experience is how easy it is to give up.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
It's underrated how easy it is to give up. And the team, like in professional sports, I don't think that applies because everyone who's there, I mean, it's easy to give up, but the people who are there have been like self-selected as not giver uppers.
Oh, that's true.
Whereas because there's a bigger pool of people in college sports, like there are more people who will quit. And like, I'm one of those people. I think Steve is one of those people. Jordan never even got the opportunity to prove that he was a quitter. And whenever there's an alert, we'll never know. Whenever there's an alluring opportunity to quit and these young men, you know, buck that desire, there's nothing you could do but tip your cap. And that comes from a quitter.
Yeah. Yeah. I take back my when you talked about giving up in the MLB, because I was thinking if I were in the MLB and I would give up. Yeah. If I had a mansion, I have a Ferrari to take me home and a pool.
I don't think you understand.
I think I'd give up and go home. You know,
I don't think you understand what professional baseball players are driving.
I have no clue. There's a lot they probably could.
It's just everything you see college players driving in the South. It's that with like nicer interiors, basically. Well, it's just Ford F-150s with a Google sound system.
Know that, you know, the day after draft day is when Ford F-150 sales are through the roof. That's when really, like, that's their Toyota-thon, I would say.
One last thing I'll say about Georgia Tech, then we can move on. Again, I don't know their likelihood. I guess we'll see on the Nerdcast this week. Is Georgia Tech in or not? All I know is that it's May 7th and they have the same ACC record as Wake Forest. So at 12-12. So I know Wake's resume is stronger overall and, you know, we like their chances to actually, you know, make a deep postseason run. But that is one of those just like realities of the 2024 season that is pretty staggering. So,
yeah. And also another thing about Georgia Tech, their freshman Drew Burris broke the freshman.
Wait, what?
No way.
Not even using the soldier tank. That's the most impressive part. Yeah.
That's like, again, the home runs.
Even those miss hits have juice.
We're not there yet. Charlie Condon, seven game homer streak. And we're like, oh, okay. Bizana, five homers, two games. Oh, all right. Yep. Of course. What do you mean you didn't homer this weekend?
What's wrong? Yeah, it's like, okay. Oh, you're a pitcher? Still, why not? I do want to say quickly on Travis Bizana. I think his pimp jobs are my favorite because he hits the home run and then just screams out of excitement. And it's like, dude, that's awesome. Like, this guy rocks.
He is so great. I appreciated, again, there's like so few games on Mondays. I don't know why Oregon State is playing on Monday.
I have no clue.
I appreciate it. Get a little Monday afternoon Travis Bizana action. Other just big picture things, Jake, did you want to talk about the Big Ten? And then I'll talk briefly about my West Virginia visit.
I would like to just mention Kentucky. I think, sure, taking two out of three from Arkansas. Kentucky is just a team that I feel like we discard a little bit preseason. It's like, well, Kentucky, like, they're not going to be one of the best teams. And then they often have been.
Yeah.
I watched a good amount of the series. Emilian Petre is like, he's not as selective as Edouard Julien was, but the Quebec SEC second base slugger who's kind of short, it's hard to ignore the comparisons there. Both lefties. He's super fun to watch. I enjoyed watching Kentucky take it to Arkansas in those last few games, because if you lose against Hagan Smith in the first game,
that's fine.
That's okay. That happens to everybody.
Yeah. Literally.
That's Hagan Smith's fault. Yeah.
They haven't lost when Hagan Smith has started. So, like, that's fine. Like, it's all good.
It's just a rite of passage at that point. But I remember watching Petre. Is there an accent on that? Because, Jake, I feel like you are better with pronunciation.
Emilian Petre.
I remember watching him make a play kind of diving up the middle. And the whole time I was just like, my body would be in shambles if he did it or if I tried to do that. It was like one of the ones where it like hops and it kind of rockets off, like one of those short hops, and he just dives, fields it, no problem. But I love the Canadian baseball players. They are like the most interesting breed. I remember when I played in the Cape, we had a kid from NC State named Mathieu Gauthier. And when we were playing against Falmouth, Edouard Julien was their shortstop, and they were just yelling at each other in French. Just I can't imagine what they're saying. I asked him what he said, and he was like, just awful stuff, which is hilarious. But those guys, like, every Canadian baseball player I've encountered has been just an awesome human being.
So there's really this is going to be very offensive what I'm about to say, but there are really, to boil it down and oversimplify it, there are, like, to me, three flavors of Canadian baseball players. There's like the French Canadians, there's Toronto and surrounding area, and then there's the West, and they all kind of have a slightly different flavor to them. I think, like, when I think about, like, the West, I'm thinking about Tyler O'Neill, who never played college baseball, but he's kind of a little bit more rugged. Whereas Quebec is, you know, that's Edouard Julien, and then Joey Votto is Toronto.
How about LP Langevin? You know, we got Louis Philippe down there in Lafayette. I mean, there's some good representation, and Petrie's, I mean, he's fantastic. Now, yeah, the Julien comps, I think, are both very apt. And also, I mean, he had one home run last year. So the power, but he's, you know, six this year, and like more walks and strikeouts, obviously a much better defender. I think he could play shortstop in pro ball. He's going to be, he has not really gotten that high up draft list yet, but I think that's a mistake. I think he's going to be a fourth or fifth round pick.
And then the last thing to talk about before we kick it to West Virginia, Cincinnati, the Big Ten is so weird, guys. Yeah. There are six teams within strike distance of the Big Ten title, regular season title: Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue, Indiana, Iowa, and Michigan. But what's even weirder is that only one of these teams is anything resembling a postseason lock. Nebraska, by far, has the best resume. Illinois, Purdue, Indiana are like maybes, and then Iowa and Michigan would have to win the conference tournament to get in, probably.
Yeah. Maryland's at 35 in the RPI, but I just don't think they're that close.
Yeah. So we could end up with a scenario where Nebraska is the only team. Like, if Nebraska wins the conference tournament and Illinois, Purdue, and Indiana don't show well, could we have a one big Big Ten?
I doubt one it. Big? I think it'll be two at least, but it does look that way, which is concerning. The other really exciting part about it is just the timing. If you bring this up, I mean, this weekend we've got Indiana, Nebraska, Iowa at Illinois, and Purdue at Michigan. So that's, you know, that the top of those standings is going to shake up like crazy. And then they play this stupid Big Ten tournament in Omaha.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to note is, postseason or not, all these guys are going to go to Omaha. You know, the ticket's been punched.
Most of them, anyway. I don't know how many of the teams in the Big Ten tournament, but I imagine a good healthy number.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament's just like, I feel like that's spring training for the concession stands. You know, I think that's a really important time in college
what baseball. What are the Creighton games? Slept on. What are the Creighton games then?
Creighton games, that's just the, that is, I would say the Arizona Fall League. Kind of just like, hey, we're getting our Friars ready. Maybe we'll test out a few new products, see how they perform, see if they're ready to make the full menu. Some of them will, some of them won't, and that's all right.
I like that. yeah, no, I think the Big Ten is, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it out to Indiana. Unfortunately, that was a whiff on my part, but
what a coward,
but, hopefully they make me regret it. Sorry to the Hoosiers. Anyway, but no, I'm excited for that little stretch, and we'll see if some of these other teams can get back in it at some point. All right. Last quick, just a couple quick notes from my time. I went to see University of Cincinnati. Of course, I've been trying to check off as many of these as local teams as possible. Finally saw them. I'm going to be going to Ball State on Friday, so looking forward to visiting Muncie, checking out some action. But I was in Cincinnati to see J.J. Weatherholt, because J.J. Weatherholt is playing baseball again. J.J. Weatherholt is playing shortstop, which is delightful. So seeing him play shortstop was good. Does he have the arm for short? We'll see. But a couple good moments from this game. He had just an awful strike two call on him in his first at bat in a 3-1 count, like so far inside. And he looked back at the ump like, really? And then next pitch lined it up the middle. And I was like, thank you. I am like this umpire. I would also like to see J.J. Weatherholt swing the bat. So I appreciated that call from the home plate ump. But what I did not appreciate, we had a string of three reviews late in this game, all plays at first base. One for Cincinnati, one for Virginia, and then one a pickoff play. None of them were overturned. It was excruciating. Like, it was just the dumbest sequence of replay I have ever seen, and I am so exhausted by it. I know, Jake, we were talking last night watching these NBA games, the end of the NBA playoff games, which is just whistle, 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 review, 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 review. I understand. I'm not fully anti-replay, but my God, is it exhausting to watch in some of these college situations.
It and is I know the you prioritization.
The my goodness, it is brutal.
It's the prioritization of the truth over the entertainment.
Yeah. And it's
we have to keep those things in balance. It's Steve is thinking about that sentence. You good, Steve?
Damn, that felt like something out of Star Wars, man. Yeah. Did you get that from Yoda?
It was, man. But anyway, but in general, it was good. Cincinnati hit a bunch of home runs. Derek Clark, who I know we've talked about on this show, the 5'8 lefty who throws only complete games. They left him out there for like 10 batters too long, which was great because it was like
in the rain.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get to the rain. That's the last part of the story. But Derek, I mean, they were like, it seemed like West Virginia's entire strategy on the weekend is have Derek Clark throw as many innings as possible in the second game, which
might as well
only worked out so well for him. But yeah, Weatherholt, you know, had some hard hit balls. The unfortunate part was it did start raining towards the end of the game, and his fourth at bat, there's like so many scouts there, so many scouts from like every team picking in the top 10. It starts pouring. They keep playing. We're all waiting to see Weatherholt get one more at bat, and he comes up and they're down by six. And what does he do? What does he do, Steve?
He walks.
He bunts.
You need it. That's when you need it. He's like, hey, let me show my range.
He drops one down. Whether that was JJ's idea or not, you can imagine how the very soggy collection of scouts felt.
That makes me so happy. I love that.
I know, you know, maybe he wanted to show off his wheels, you know, with the hamstring injury, he wanted to show he could still run, but... Anyway, yeah. It was a great time. You know, I was there with a scouting friend, and I have to shout out the gentleman who came up to us and started talking to us during batting practice. This was an incredible range of information that this gentleman was displaying, because, you know, it's like, okay, a guy comes up to us and talking to a scout, and he's going to say, oh, here to see Weatherholt. Like, that's totally fine, right? That makes sense. And then he starts rattling off like, oh, you're here to see this like random West Virginia pitcher that like I had barely heard of, like all these things. But then he starts talking about Jock Caglione. And I was like, that's not his name.
Yep.
Like, whoa. Yeah. I was like, good. Wow. Like, you seem to know this, but you really don't know this.
Jock Caglione. I just want to interject that his biggest nemesis is Theater Caglione. Those two do not get along.
But, you know, he gets along well with Strap Caglione.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
like this.
And then the
other always thing, together.
The other thing that was amazing about this guy, and this is something that Jake, we could probably talk about on our pod, which is this guy was saying, you know, he's talking to this guy's like, you know, if I was a scout, you know, I wouldn't look for the velocity, you know, I would look for the guy who could point it where, you know, throw the ball where he wants it. And then what do you think he said next, Jake? Because this is something that is just so funny in just like our modern how we talk about pitching, right? All right, we're tired of all these guys throwing hard and they don't know where it's going. Because, you know, Greg Maddux. I mean, Greg Maddux, Greg Maddux, he just threw it where he wanted it. You know, you just throw it there.
He topped at 57, right?
Exactly. He was lobbing it underhand like softball, but he just knew where it was going.
He knew where it was going. He could command it. So, like, why doesn't everyone just be Greg Maddux? I agree with this guy. If I was out there scouting, I'd be like, where's Greg Maddux? I'm still looking for him 20 years later. But I hope that the scouts can find their next Greg Maddux, because surely they're out there if you just look hard enough, right?
Yeah. It's just about finding them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You got to make sure it's guys who don't know what radar guns are, that technology exists. They're probably, you know, what have the Amish been up to? We haven't checked in on them lately. That's probably where the command is.
That's,
you know,
a great point.
Steve, I have a theory, though. I have a theory.
Oh, what's the theory?
The reason that we don't have Greg Maddux's anymore, especially in college baseball, is because
I think I know where you're going with this.
I think it's because even the miss hits have juice.
Even the miss hits have juice. Well, let me tell you what. If I were Greg Maddux and I saw this bad boy step up to the plate, I would turn around and throw to the batter's eye. Because if this thing comes close to a baseball, if it is in the vicinity and you are the pitcher, watch the ball fly. Steve, have you heard of this?
I was going to say, for those who are not watching, what are you talking about?
I am talking about the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Core baseball bat by Soldier Sports. This isn't just any bat. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors. And this is thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates an ultra big, ultra hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power, designed for both power and contact hitters. It features formula for success. Speed times impact equals extreme power. I've been working on that dance. I've seen even the miss hits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it to be swinging the top scoring BB Core bat ever. But they're selling out fast, though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. Speaking of selling out fast, gentlemen, this week...
That ad.
Yeah. I've been... It's because I hear anything. I think of a miss hit. I watch anything. Any college baseball game, and he's like, oh, you just missed that one. I'm like, oh, he should have been swinging it. Because have you... Like, I'll be listening to a game and I hear someone say miss hit, and I immediately right into it. Even miss hits have juice with 2025. But I was in Dick's Sporting Goods this weekend. Yeah. Only, first of all the bat racks, only 3 Soldier Tanks left. So they are selling out fast. But I always go to the baseball section. My wife's in for some shoes, and I always play with the baseball gloves. I try to form them well because the Dick's glove stand just murders baseball gloves, and I think they deserve better treatment than that. So I go in, I form them up a little bit. I hear a kid.
Selfless, Steve. That's so selfless.
That's me. That's, you know, that's who I am. But anyway, I hear a kid's like playing with the bats, and of course I had already moved the Soldier Tanks to the front because I understand marketing, and that's what we do for our sponsors here. And I hear a kid pick up a bat and go, dude, this is the hottest bat out right now. And I kid you not, I look over, this kid's holding the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Core baseball bat. I contemplated walking out of the store with just one of the security devices off of the gloves so I could get caught trying to rob the store, just so I could have the videotape, just so I could play it back, because it was literally so perfect. And I couldn't believe it was real. Like, sometimes I think I'm in the Truman Show, which, have you guys heard of that? Yeah. Like the movie
I've seen. Yeah, no. Yeah,
okay. All right. There
Great
we go.
Movie.
Yeah, scares the living piss out of me. But anyway, that was one of those moments where I was like, okay, something's happening here. And I don't know if I like it. I
think you're like, something special's going on.
Yeah, it's like, where's Ashton Kutcher? Is he going to pop out on that, some prank pump or whatever it was? But either way, Soldier Tank, thank you, Soldier Sports, for sponsoring the podcast. That's our long way of saying that.
Thank you to Soldier Sports.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Bosch tools are built for workers. The Bosch 2-in-1 impact driver and impact wrench quickly changes between bits and sockets to help get jobs done without having to switch tools. Bosch tools, what hard workers deserve. Learn more at BoschTools.com.
Hey, this is Jeff Lewis from Radio Andy. Live and uncensored, catch me talking with my friends about my latest obsessions, relationship issues, and bodily ailments. With that kind of drama that seems to follow me, you never know what's going to happen.
You can listen to Jeff Lewis live at home or anywhere you are. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy to use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Before we get to the moments, I would be remiss not to mention that D1 Baseball's Burt Granger was also at the West Virginia-Cincinnati game, and he posted some great footage from it. It was his first time meeting Burt. What an exquisite member of the D1 Baseball family. I was so happy to meet him. He just posted some video from Weatherholt and from Chase Meyer, freshman at West Virginia pitcher. Just remember that name. Just file that name away for 2026, Chase Meyer. Okay, let's move on. Steve, roll through some moments of the week.
Yeah, okay. Well, first off, I want to start off, the Giblet Tickler was a majority of moments, and my Giblet Tickler this week was tarps, just everywhere. Tarps anywhere, because tarps were hot this weekend. One of the biggest ones was coming from Willamette University over all the way in Salem, Oregon, which is actually where my cousin went to school. I have probably consumed beers with a few of the people in these photos doing this tarp pool, but they were playing Whitman baseball. And during their tarp pool, they just posted a picture. It was two dudes, one from each team, clearly, because one's wearing Whitman blue pants, the other is in Willamette gray. Well, I think they're just gray. I don't think that's specific to the university. But their shirts are off. They're wearing, like, ski masks. And I don't know. They're called shiesties. I don't know the exact term for these things. But either way, they're also wearing big sunglasses. But it's just a hilarious picture because these guys – it's clearly two big body guys who just want to play baseball and have a good time. And I feel like tarp pools really united these two. And then in the same tarp pool, there is a video, and you may be like, hey, how'd the tarp get on the field? Because these guys are just goofing off. Well, it was senior day weekend. And so some of the dads joined in on the tarp pool. So if you see the video, wow, it's like all these guys' shirts completely off in baseball pants, pulling tarp. And let me tell you, when it rains there, I went out for senior day for my cousin because he was part of the baseball team, and it got rained out. So it really does pour there. It's a beautiful place, don't get me wrong. But this is just such a great moment. It's going to be like, hey, you remember senior day when I put the tarp on the field for you?
Well, Steve, I mean, yeah, Willamette, this is a program that I'm now indirectly tied to as the head coach, Mike Caduto, new head coach, was my next door neighbor last year as he was the assistant coach at Earlham College before he left to take the head coach job at Willamette. So I should text Mike and see what the real story is behind these shirtless tarp pulls, because knowing Mike, like, this is not something that I would imagine him being like, oh yeah, guys, definitely go do this. But I'm glad that he was cool with it. They're having a great season. So we'll see which one of those, both of those teams having great seasons at the NWC.
Yeah, for it. But let's get into some moments. Of course, shout out Willamette. We love you. I want to start off the first moment. I don't know how many times, Jordan, I don't know if you were here for this game, but it was between Cincinnati and Willamette. The turf is obviously wet. And I tweeted, anytime we have a game turf, the first slide completed is always sliding.
Man, Steve's Wi-Fi today is not getting the job done.
I don't think his Wi-Fi but is going to make have a regional. Oh,
yeah, Steve, I'm just going to say again. Yeah. I normally don't do this, but like since me I neither. Know this is something that happens on the D1 Baseball Network, I don't feel as bad. Mm-hmm. But Steve, yeah. your Wi-Fi is not so hot right now. Yeah, this is the first time we've had this issue. But I'm just letting you know. You seem fine right now. You're a little fuzzy. You're back.
Yeah.
I'm just telling
not
you.
Not your beard.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
the so beard.
So I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know that just keep it. I don't know if something's changed. I don't know if Fran is if she's trying to send the 500 tweets at once right now.
Yeah,
but I just
we're gonna stay even. We're gonna stay even.
All right,
stop playing the video. I'll pause the videos while I talk about them.
That's probably a good strategy.
Amazing.
Either way, this was preparedness, which is the root of the problem here. The ill preparedness of not starting your slide at second base to get to third base.
Yeah, I saw this. That game was the slide you're talking about was the day before I was there, I believe.
Rained the day before and you're playing on turf and you want to slide into a base, you should start the second you touch the previous base. So if you're going first to third, when your foot hits second and you are pointed,
let's make sure we're turned in the right way. Yeah.
Hit second, point towards third, and then just let it fly. I would also recommend having some soap in your back pocket. And what you can do is as you dive, you pull the Palmolive out of your back pocket, spray it in front of you as you're diving. The soap hits your chest, and then you will just fly. No friction to be seen.
Yeah.
You might even go into the dugout.
Mm-hmm. You might, or best case scenario, if you dive head first, you can kind of, if you've watched the movie Cool Runnings, then you know how to shift your weight to turn that dive and really just get home.
Right. Yeah, because if the ball bounces away and you're down, you want to keep that momentum going as you go towards home. Great.
Even if the ball, you want to put your hand in the- Probably not. So they aren't going to want to tag you, you know? Mm. And while that is a clean Steve, that's a slippery guy to tag. But talking about big bodied people, I want to talk about Oregon's Bryce Boedeker, who he had the most casual home run robbery I've ever seen. I don't know how high the defenses are at Oregon's field, but he just literally stands up, throws his glove over his head, and reminds me of an MVP. Whenever I'd create a player, I would make them 7 foot tall, like as tall as I could, because my theory was in order to rob more home runs in the outfield, if you just put Yao Ming or Shaquille O'Neal out there, it's just going to be a whoop, catch it. And that's what Bryce Boedeker did here, which is just insanely impressive, because I run into a wall, I probably crack my back and can't move. He runs into the wall, and it's just like kind of a, all right, casual. Here it is. All right, I caught it. Here. Okay.
This play, I had this thought. There was a home run robbery in MLB before or recently. And I've thought often about like, what is the ideal fence height for a home run robbery? Because I would argue that this is still a tad short because of kind of the aesthetics that he's able. I mean, it's very impressive. but it's not quite as dramatic. It's not quite as physically like the leap, right? You kind of want there to have to actually like jump up and like scale and reach over. And I feel like this wall, which is probably like 7 feet tall, if that, 8 feet, is a little short for that. So I'm not taking anything away from this, but I feel like my preferred aesthetic home run robbery involves a taller wall. What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I totally agree. I prefer like the Green Monster or Plainsman Park at Auburn, their left
super
field.
Super wall climb for MLB 2K6.
Yeah. Exactly. Or what Vandy has in left field. I want, if you're going to impress me, okay, you got to go full Spidey man.
Yeah.
I am so unimpressed by this home run robbery. At least sell it with a little hop, okay?
I like bells and whistles.
I want bells and I want whistles. Steve, please move on to the next highlight before I get mad.
I will say, 6'2", that's a 13-inch glove. I'd say so, probably about 8.
All right, Steve, your Wi-Fi. Your Wi-Fi is so bad that I am now going to read these highlights while you go. Our next highlight. Yes, I'm kicking you off your own show. Our next highlight is
Steve. Can we give Steve permission to? I think. Can he leave and can refresh or something? I don't know if that'll impact the recording. But I feel like that is safe because you're not going to be able to finish this podcast.
All right, Steve. We'll refresh.
Okay. I think there's a chance that Tanner Allen cut his Wi-Fi
after Steve's frolicking time at Mississippi State.
It says current recording will be discarded.
Okay. So Steve, you hang tight here, Steve. We're gonna get through this together. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna grit it out without our best stuff, which is Steve.
Okay.
So Steve, here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna read a couple more of these highlights, and then we're gonna kick it to you, and we're gonna cross our fingers. All right.
All right.
You only speak, Steve. You're gonna be like a child. You only speak when spoken to. Okay.
That's fair.
No, you just spoke wrong. You've got your 0-1. You're 0-1.
Well, you were addressing me. I was.
I will be much clearer. Our next highlight is from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Jack Hill with a delightful inside move on the back pick to second. This is as crispy and as clean as this move gets. Jordan, as someone who really didn't play baseball, what does an inside move mean to you?
Well, I was about to say, this is something that it's taken me a while to really understand. Again, in this case, this is where a pitcher is basically catching someone off second base by fooling them with what appears to be the beginning of their delivery and somehow not blocking is essentially what's happening.
Right. And swiveling around and making the throw to second base. Steven Schock, what are your thoughts on this video?
My thoughts are, wow, what an inside move. That was phenomenal stuff because he picks up. He doesn't make any progress towards home plate. But what I want to say is if you want a good inside move, all you have to do is break your hands while looking at home plate. Everybody goes absolutely bazonkers for it. No one understands what's going on. The guy always goes into a secondary as soon as your hands break. You can do that. That is legal. You could break your hands and literally wave the ball around like this as you're stepping off. That's fine. Just confuse people.
You know why they call it an inside move, right? It's because the best way to get good at it is to practice it inside in your bedroom in front of the mirror. Our next highlight.
Wait, I just wanted to say, of course, all it took to fix Steve's Wi-Fi was to start talking about pickoff moves.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Steve, why don't you take the next one?
Here we go. Next one. George's Ethan Sutton on why you need to be on time for tarp pool. So here we have Georgia doing a tarp pool. Everything's fine. Ethan Sutton comes strutting out a little bit late. Even if you are 1 millisecond late to tarp pool, the tarp doesn't wait for anyone. And people think like, oh, it's a tarp. How heavy could it be? Those things are, they are in control the whole time. It looks like the baseball team's in control where the tarp's going. They aren't. They're just guiding it. They're giving it influence. But the tarp and the wind are in control. Ethan Sutton gets dragged. He just continues to sit on it, and he just accepts fate, which is important because I learned very early on, if you're ever drowning in a river, the worst thing you can do for yourself is try to stand up and stop. You got to go with the flow, and that's exactly what Ethan Sutton does here, and I think that's why he's still alive today.
This is a, like, cartoonish fall for Ethan Sutton. Like, it's kind of like a two-parter. Like, first he slips on the grass, and then he slips on the tarp, and he falls like he's slipping on a banana peel. It is so funny. I feel like it requires sound effects.
Yeah, so as someone who would have done this, I can tell you exactly what's going through his mind. So he has no plan here. He is running towards the tarp, right? If he gets to the – if you – are pulling a tarp and the tarp is moving away from you and you are late to tarp pull, you are running towards the moving tarp and you step on it, it's like stepping on a moving treadmill. It's not going to be good for you. You're going to fall. He realizes this about halfway to the tarp. That's when he tries to stop himself, trips over his own feet, ends up on the tarp. This is doofus behavior. Formulate yourself a plan. Don't be late. This is unacceptable. This type of thing would never fly in my program. Next highlight, Chase Burns conjured something over the weekend that I have literally never seen on a baseball field. On a breaking ball in the dirt, he elicited a check swing from a hitter at, I believe they were playing Western Carolina. And the bat, from the force of the check swing, snapped in half. Steve, my question for you is WTF.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened, because the amount of forearm strength you have to get a bat going like that and stop it is impressive. For the barrel to just fly off like that, I gotta wonder, like, was the bat on its last limb? Like, was this it for the bat? Like, if he made contact, would the barrel have gone? Because, look, if you can't handle a check swing, can you handle a 100-mile-an-hour fastball from Chase Burns? Probably not.
Yeah, I can't imagine a scenario where a metal bat was was sturdy enough to hit a home run if a pitch later it broke in half on a check swing. Doesn't seem like that's how science works.
And it's one of those things, like, I've seen it in the MLB happen one or two times where, like, a check swing, like, literally probably actually only once, but that's a wood bat. And you can just think, hey, bad tree. You know, that happens from time to time. But
this would never happen to the Soldier Tank, because even though it's Mr. Devchus.
No, it honestly, like, if it happened with the Soldier Tank, you'd probably go to jail because of how dangerous this barrel flying around. Woo. The mishits having juice, that could have killed someone. That could have
really hide your kids. Someone. Hide your wife. Our last highlight of the week, Chase Walter, the child of Wake Forest head ball coach Tom Walter, made a diving snag from the dugout. Steve, walk me through it.
Yeah, so he's clearly kind of situated where he's sitting at the end of the dugout, just on the turf, which, let me tell you, this looks like a phenomenal spot to take in a ball game. You're just field level on the turf, chilling. And there is a ground ball hit to him, clearly foul and everything. So he just goes after it like a natural athlete would. And he dives, makes the one-handed snag, and then kind of starts doing this swimming motion that I'm also impressed with, because it looked like it took a lot of core strength. He kind of starts doing a breath stroke with all his feet off the ground. So he kind of doubles down on the pitcher's being athlete's movement right there, where he's like, hey, look, I'm going to make this diving play. I'm also going to do an athletic move afterwards.
I feel like, Steve, have you ever caught a ball in the dugout?
Oh, God, no. No. I've had opportunities where I've come close,
I guess,
to catching a ball. No, not in the bullpen either. If there were a home run, I was typically sitting still just with my arms over my head screaming. But, yeah, no, I was never much of a try-to-catch-it kind of guy because I knew it wouldn't go well. Knew it wouldn't go well.
Makes sense. All right, Steve, you got one more ad, and then we can do our players and pitchers of the week and say goodbye.
Yeah, so if that kid from Western Carolina was like, hey, you know what? I want to take this broken bat and turn it into something good. He should have talked to the people at Baseball Barbecue, because Baseball Barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grill tool. Now Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional, Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life. Thank you, Baseball Barbecue.
Thank you, Baseball Barbecue. We move to our players and pitchers of the week. Let's do players first. Jake, who's your player?
I'm taking the dish. Emiliano Petri had 6 RBI over the weekend in Kentucky's win over Arkansas. The Canadian Crusher is one of my personal favorites right now. So I'm gonna keep things at the dish.
I love it. I'm also going to pick my player is Kendall Yule. Kendall Yule, who has been arguably the best or one of the most productive players in D1 baseball for the last month. I believe he has like an 1800 OPS over the last 30 days, which is kind of ridiculous. I believe the wonderful account who I've shouted out on the show before, Friday Starters, one of the best college baseball follows. Yes. Over the last month, UIC outfielder Kendall Yule has a 1828 OPS, hitting .544, .618, 12, 11, and 15 games, 11 homers over that stretch. He had a monster weekend as well. This is a guy who has had a kind of an interesting career, started his career at Eastern Kentucky, was at Kentucky last year, speaking of Kentucky, did not get a lot of playing time, has been dominant in the summer. He's done in the Appy League, he's in the Draft League, he did in the Northwoods League. Now he's almost 23. He's turning 23 this weekend, I believe. And he's a beast. So Kendall Yule, shouts out to you, my player of the week. Steve, who you got?
Good call. I'm going with New Mexico State's Titus Dumitru. Phenomenal name. This week he hit 4 home runs, drove in 8 RBIs, but he went 7-for-14 with 2 doubles as well. But that name is just phenomenal. That's a fun name to say. I don't even know if I'm saying the last name right, but phonetically speaking, I'm just going off of what it looks like. And if I'm even close, that name's like a slip and slide of fun. So I'm all for it.
That is a great pick. Jake, who is your pitcher of the week?
We so often in this life and in this game forget about hitters. Forget about heroes that could have been. In honor of the new Clayton Kershaw biography, Jordan, I was just thinking about this moment Clayton Kershaw had where, like, in game 7 of the 2017 World Series, he comes in and throws like 5 scoreless in relief and no one remembers it because the Dodgers don't score any runs. Slightly different stakes, but I want to shout out a pitcher on the University of Pittsburgh, Mr. Matthew Fernandez, who threw 6 scoreless innings of relief on Sunday, allowing 1 hit, walking 1, and striking 8. Very impressive relief appearance to keep his Pittsburgh Panthers in the game after they went down 8-0. Pittsburgh clawed back and still lost 8-6. If they had come back and won, that would have been true heroism. But you got to tip your cap for the effort. So shouts out to Matthew Fernandez. And just one other quick thing. Do you know that the leadoff hitter for Pittsburgh is named Dom Papa?
Yes.
When you read it backwards, it's last name and then first name, right?
Yeah.
And so it just says Papadom. Papadom. That's good. Which is what you get at an Indian restaurant when you get the chutneys at the beginning of the meal. That's called a Papadom.
It's absolutely.
It's delicious.
It is.
But you know, you sit down at an Indian restaurant and the waiter's like, "Do you want Papadom?" And Pittsburgh baseball is like, we already have Papa Dom.
We have some at home.
Yeah.
Steve, who is your pitcher of the week?
My pitcher of the week, I'm going just in general. I'm going with Nick Wisman of the Dayton Flyers, who this season, I didn't realize this, is 10-1 out of the pen. He has 21 appearances with 6 saves, and he's currently sitting at a 2.93 ERA. This gentleman came to my attention because he's a weird arm slot guy, but I saw a highlight of him striking someone out with the fastball, a right-handed batter. He's a right-handed pitcher. Hit him clean, just right in the gut, and he got a swing out of the kid. And it was a Davidson batter. And it was just a really funny clip. And I was like, okay, I need to learn more about this. And their pitching coach at Dayton actually reached out and was like, you should know about this kid. And now I'm like, hey, yeah, no, I now know about him. And I think everyone else should know about him too. So check out Nick Wisman.
Good shout out there. My pitcher of the week, I was going to go with Clark Candiotti at Arizona, but Clark Candiotti, who's having a great season, you know, he threw a complete game against Stanford. 9 innings, shutout baseball, 119 pitches, really impressive stuff. But then I thought, you know what? There was a better performance. And I think you guys may have seen this yesterday. This was not at the Division I baseball level. It was at the Division III softball level. Do either of you guys know what I am about to talk about?
I never do.
No? You guys got nothing?
No. Nothing.
Good. I'm glad. I'm going to put the link to the box score in the document. And Steve, why don't you go ahead and pull up that document? And why don't you read me the pitching line for the Rowan starting pitcher in the NJAC tournament, the conference tournament yesterday. I thought about saving this for our real pod, Jake, but I couldn't wait because I wanted to get this to you live as soon as possible. Steve, why don't you go ahead and read me the line for Emily McCutchen of the Rowan Profs?
Emily McCutchen, 11 hits, 5 walks, 6 strikeouts, 3 hit by pitches.
Yep.
77 batters faced in 20 innings, 230 pitches.
0 runs, Steve.
0.
Okay.
My favorite is only 6 Ks.
Emily McCutchen went 20 shutty in the conference tournament, and they won on a walk-off over TCNJ. Now, somehow, by far the most incredible thing about this, there's a lot of things. Only 230 pitches. She was averaging like 10 pitches an inning for 20 innings. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. For comparison, TCNJ had someone come in. Maya Knasiak came in and threw 14 innings in relief, and she threw 226 pitches over the 14 innings, you know, walking 8, striking out 9. So anyway, Emily McCutchen, 20 shutout innings in a conference tournament win. Here's really the thing that I love about this, and you know, they win on a walk-off in the bottom of the 20th, is that I was like, oh, well, okay. So like some of these softball teams, they basically have one pitcher, right? Like they got one and like, she's just going to go. Not the case. Rowan has another really good pitcher who I guess they were just like, nah, Emily's got this. She's got it covered. But honestly, based on how efficient she was being, I'm not surprised. Like I've seen 200 pitches in a D1 softball game before, but 230 over 20 innings is just amazing. So obvious pitcher of the week, absolute hero. Rowan moves on in the NJAC tournament, and I will be closely watching to see here's the most important thing is when do they play again? I think they play today. They play today against Kane. Will Emily be back in the circle is the question. Stay tuned for that.
So, first of all, first game of the conference tournament. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Second thing is only 50 people were there, according to the box score.
Well, now more than 50 people will have heard about it.
They got the witness history. Giving up one run over pitching two softball games and getting the loss, that's rough. That's rough.
That's true. That's also true. Yeah, for the
both teams should win.
Yeah, yeah. 4 hours and 45 minutes at the time of this game. Anyway, shouts out to Emily. She's a pitcher of the week. We're done. Before Steve's Wi-Fi dies, let's end this podcast. Thank you all for listening. Shock Factor is great. I will not be here next week, Steve. I'm telling you that now for the first time. Jake, we'll have you covered next week. My first absence. But Steve, close us out before your Wi-Fi poops out itself.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Shock Factor. Sorry about the Wi-Fi complications. Those will get sorted out as I expand my bandwidth, both mentally and Wi-Fi-ly, as I look into more. As Jordan just expanded my bandwidth into Rowan College softball, which I didn't know I was going to go down that rabbit hole on a 10:30 on a Tuesday. But here we are. So thank you so much for tuning into the Shock Factor podcast. Thank you to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue. You guys rock for making this all possible. And thank you for tuning in to the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network, or maybe you're tuning in from the SiriusXM mobile app. And if you, that's cool too, because you can do that now. And if you're like, hey, we can do that. Yeah, you can. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. And go have a great week.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Imagine you're on a John Deere mower with a smooth ride, intuitive controls, and attachments for every season. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.